right, welcome back. Thank you for being here. And this whole subject of vax injury, of virus injury, and let's not forget again, and I don't want to belabor this too much, but you don't want this virus or any of its variants, all of which are clearly man-made. We know this now. This virus is not something that does well on the human body in our evaluation, but it does very well in terms of a bioweapon. It's a synthetic virus, and we have tried to outline and delineate the probably dozens of different ways, pathways that this virus can set up in your body with spike protein and so forth, and things we don't even know about probably yet, and destroy the body over time, causing a cascade of interrelated disasters to eventually bring down human health to the point where life is no longer sustainable. That's what this virus can do. Now, in addition to that, of course, we have the vax, which is without question the most diabolically evil and deadly, convoluted, sophisticated mechanism that is anti-life that I have ever seen. I mean, I'll include cancer in that and everything else because cancer is pretty much a one-trick pony. It gets going and it'll kill you. This shot, and I don't want to leave the virus completely off the table here, but the shot especially is so astoundingly sophisticated. There are things in it that we don't talk about here. It's too complicated. It's nothing to do with being arrogant or anything. It's too complex. And yet it's there, and we see it, and it all ties in to some of the larger, more observable pathways of death caused by these shots. But there's much more to it than that. I swear, whoever put this together, if the Nobel meant anything, should get 10 of them. It's that crazy. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. As I said, the more that comes to light, the darker it gets.
God, those are really words to live by. Very, very important. And all true. The more we look, and Eric is a scientist here. I'm just a tag-along research assistant, so to speak. The more she finds, and I'll say this again, I don't think there's anyone on the planet, I can't imagine anyone on the planet having a broader-based understanding of how this all works than Erica on our side of the tracks. The dark side, the evil ones, oh, they know, but we've been able to figure a lot of things out. She's just a wizard at this, and I hope all of you do share these programs. They're not pleasant. We get that. It's not fun to do this. We understand that, believe me, thoroughly. But we're not going to lie to anybody. You have a God-given right to know what is being done to you and your children and your loved ones. And I again, really feel in my heart sadness for so many families and couples and so forth who are going to have an empty place at the table, an empty place or places in their heart for lost loved ones who have been murdered, and nobody in the mainstream communist Zionist Bolshevik bullshit media will tell it like it is. This is mass murder. You know it by now, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. It is astonishing how many people have been massacred with this, and there's no way to reverse, as far as we can tell, the primary mechanism once it is injected into the body. We can try to manage symptoms, and we do our best to advise on that, but the other side of that coin is money. There are a lot of people making a lot of money with this death march into oblivion. It's horrible. And shame on all of them. That's actually too nice. I won't go any further. But these hucksters, carpetbaggers, phonies, frauds, snake oil salesmen and women are some of the worst examples of humankind you can imagine. They're just flat out evil. I better shut up and I get in trouble.
No, there's a lot of predators out there right now, all too happy to you know, just take people's money with empty promises.
Oh, they don't give a damn. Didn't work for you? Too bad. You're one in a thousand. It usually works for everybody. Look, this is really not the time to buy into all the crap out there that these people are pushing. At best, you're going to get some relief from symptoms. You're not going to reverse the genetic damage done to your body. Come on, let's get serious here. You're trying to manage
this. It has kicked off in most cases, every case that I know of, some type of pathology, and it can vary from person to person, but once it is initiated, you know, don't forget they have autoimmunity built into this.
Yes.
So even if by some miracle you end up neutralizing the protein itself, there's a very good possibility you're going to end up with an autoimmune disease. That's what we're seeing. And one of the biggest, most serious ones, I mean, they're all serious, I shouldn't say that, but this loss of ACE2 activity, this angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, is a very critical part of maintaining your body's cardiovasculature, your ability to maintain blood pressure and electrolyte balance and, the proper oxygen flow. And when you begin to lose that function, either because there's a spike protein sitting in the receptor or binding to it, or you've created antibodies to it, which I think the latest number was about a third of people who either have the virus or have been injected are creating autoantibodies to their ACE2 receptors.
Think about this carefully now. Autoantibodies. Think about it. Go ahead. It's important.
So what happens is you have no ability, or you have diminished ability, to convert this angiotensin 2, which is, it promotes inflammation, it promotes high blood pressure, it promotes fat deposit, which could be one weird reason why some people are suddenly gaining a tremendous amount of weight. This is all because your body is not able to neutralize or convert that molecule, angiotensin 2, back into angiotensin 1. So you pay a big price for that, and one of it is this constant high inflammatory state that can drive cancer and cardiovascular disease.
You bet. Now, what we're going to do is spend a little time on the issue of sudden death. Died suddenly. Heart stops, person hits the deck, face plants, whatever, and they can't revive them. They can't resuscitate them. They can't restart the heart. There's a reason for that, and they don't know it. But we're going to tell you, again, we've done this in the past, why sometimes the heart stops and it cannot be restarted, no matter what you do. There's a reason for that. And they built that into these genocidal injections. It's just as a rule of thumb, no more needles. You don't need any needles. Don't get any more needles for anything. And if you're a parent with a child, we cannot advise you professionally or personally. But if it were mine, I wouldn't have any vaccines at all, under no circumstances, if I had a child. I would simply feed that child healthy food and take care of him. Go ahead.
I just read a post today where somebody, this was an adult, I think around 60 years of age, was going in for some kind of a surgery. And the surgeon the intake people looked at the medical record and said, well, you haven't had any vaccines since you were a child. Let's catch you up. And so this person literally was going to be given all of the childhood vaccines in one visit before whatever surgery they were going to have.
Yeah, right before.
Well, not right before, but probably in the days or week leading up to the surgery.
I mean,
they wanted to make sure that they were vaccinated for everything they had a vaccine for. Yeah, this is ludicrous.
It's insane. This And now what's happening, most all of you know this, you're longtime listeners, all the traditional childhood vaccines are being reconfigured into an mRNA LNP format. And they probably will also have up to 400 billion pieces of DNA fragments in them. We don't know, but they're in there for a reason. I don't find it, in my own view, I don't think it's a contaminant. I think this is part of the whole game. Anti-life. Go ahead.
For what it's worth, a tetanus shot is probably, most likely, being given to young women right now to sterilize them. There is a campaign that when women go for their annual physicals, they are encouraged to have a tetanus shot. Now, normally you wouldn't have a tetanus shot unless, you were bitten by an animal or stepped on a rusty nail. And even then, the incidence of tetanus is really debatable.
I've never heard of a case of tetanus in my whole life.
No, it's fairly rare. I've known a couple women myself that they went to a doctor's visit and they said, I got a tetanus shot. And for what? Oh, the doctor said it would be good. And no, there's an agenda with that one. And I think it was determined, somebody figured out that there was something in it that would affect women's fertility. I don't know if it was the HCG hormone where, if you get pregnant and you start generating antibodies against that, you will lose the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But just say no.
And that's most sincerely offered as just out-of-hand advice. Just say no.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of your doctor. Many people go in there and they're intimidated. Don't be.
No, these doctors are heavily incentivized to dispense these things.
Well, I call them assistant apparatus to murder. They're killing people.
Well, they are.
Anyone who's
they
given these shots, especially the Pfizer, Moderna, COVID genocide injections, they're accessories to murder. And manslaughter, at least. Sorry. That's my take on it. I won't back down on that because a lot of them damn well knew it and they still did it. They knew there was a problem with this. How can you possibly inject somebody with something that has not had proper... They said it would take 6 to 8 years to properly evaluate this under normal circumstances.
Oh, that would be...
That's minimal.
That would be fast.
It's usually 10. Yeah, it's 10. So they rushed it through and merchandised it and marketed it with what? Fear. They scared the hell out of everybody. Tried to. And then they intimidated and browbeat them with mandates. I was in line today, and I was keeping my distance, and I had my gloves and my mask on, and there was some kind of heavy-set lady in front of me. I don't know how old. Middle-aged, whatever, almost. And I said something, and... I wanted to find out if she had gotten shots while I was standing in line. And I said, are they still giving out shots here? And she said, oh, yeah, I'm sure they are. I said, well, they were very busy when this new one came out. Yeah, they were. I said, I found out that they were backed up over a month in advance. She said, yes, that was really amazing, but it's not like that anymore. And I said, well, did you get yours? Yes. And I said, well, tell me one thing. What was it in your mind that got you decided to go ahead and get the first one you got whenever, 2 years ago or whatever? She had apparently three in this one or something like that. I think it was four altogether. I said, what was it that convinced you? And she said, well, we had to. I said, mandate? Yes. What do you, are you in the health field? Yes. She apparently it was a... dermatologist, NP, nurse practitioner. So she did a lot of dermatological work. But they forced all the staff to get shots. And they got two shots and then the third. So they were fully vaxxed. And I said, well, they still have this mandate? No, they dropped it. So they dose these people up with three shots. And then I guess they're all getting their the new one, the booster. So yeah, it's horrifying, and I try to stay upwind stream from all of these folks, and I just, you know, I keep my distance, and you should all do that too. That 6 feet rule was obviously made up on a lark. I think it was made up by a teenager, wasn't that it? Something silly like that. And it was adopted by Fauci and his crew. But it's good. It's good to do. Try and keep that 6 feet.
I think for aerosolized viruses, healthy. Though, the minimum
kind of
distance
doesn't matter.
Is 10 feet.
10 to 12. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, hearts. As you know, the latest is, and it's been iterated by, I think, even who else? A number of top doctors have said now, it looks like everyone who's taken a shot or more has myocarditis, whether it's subclinical or they don't notice it, whatever. But they've all had myocarditis, and their heart has been damaged. And again, there's no way that we're seeing that this can be rolled back. It just can't, because you still have mRNA producing, if you've been injected, spike proteins in your body, all right? And that may well last for the rest of your life, which, if you've been thoroughly injected, may not be all that much longer. We're seeing people die all the time now. So why is it, beside the myocarditis, that the heart will sometimes just stop and people in mid-step fall down dead? Not half dead, they're dead. And they rush over and they do CPR and they start pushing on the chest and all that. Nobody comes back in many cases. Why is that? Well, there was another article put out by Walter. Is it Walter?
Walter Chestnut.
Walter.
Yeah.
Walter Chestnut. And it has to do with the idea of shutting down, I'll try and keep this simple, the autonomic nerve signaling to the heart for the heart to beat. And it's tied into, apparently, we think, logically, into the same mechanism by which your taste and sense of smell is turned off after you've been injected with the virus, or if you get the shot. A lot of people have that response too. So whatever is turning off your taste and your smell could be turning your heart off as well. Now, I'm keeping this simple. I'll let Erica fill in the blanks here. But sudden cardiac death and cognitive brain issues are probably linked to the same mechanism. That's a possibility. And we have some slides to look at, which we will show you in a few minutes as well. So tell us about Chestnut's article and the idea of the heart doesn't beat on its own. It's told to beat. And that beat signal comes from the brainstem, ultimately?
Yeah, that's another possibility of why the signaling is disrupted, that the signaling coming from the brainstem isn't reaching the heart.
Exactly.
To tell it to beat. And that could be why, when somebody dies, attempts to revive them with CPR are unsuccessful. There's nothing to pick up the nerve impulses to keep it going.
Well, it's like you have a car and you run out of gas and you put gas in the tank. That's CPR. But the engine won't turn over because the fuel pump is broken. So you have a breakdown in the electronic signature that tells your heart to beat. It cannot get to the heart muscle to make it beat. And what can cause that? Well, certainly myocarditis is not helpful in that realm at all, the inflammation issue, again. But let's tie this together with loss of sense of taste and loss of sense of smell. And what may be going on here is something that is damaging the brain. We're not talking about cognition here or personality yet, but we're going to tie this all together. There are electronic signals coming from the brain which are being messed up, all right? Tell us more.
Well, in this particular article, though, he was talking about the spike ending up in the cells themselves.
Right.
Like in the tongue for the taste buds. And the spike was actually able to destroy the cells that are responsible for generating these impulses that convey taste. And presumably the same would be happening wherever the spike goes. It brings a wave of destruction with it.
And where does the spike go? Anywhere it wants to. Wherever you have
pretty
blood,
much.
You have spike.
But it does
like
seem
that.
To have a special affinity for nerves.
You made that point over a year ago that it likes neurology. It gets into the nerves and can apparently go right to the brain through the nerve channels and pathways.
Yes,
and
Dr. Kevin McCarron in Japan is the neuroscientist that's been really elucidating quite a bit of this science on the effects on the nervous system and the brain.
Right.
It's bad news. I think the more disturbing thing is these autopsies that have been done and looking at the brains of people who have had COVID, and even ones that didn't know they had COVID, people who had died of causes other than COVID, were showing spike in the brain at autopsy. So, as we've said before, even a mild case of COVID can result in detectable changes in the brain on an MRI. And apparently you can actually, if you stain the tissue for the brain, in the brain, you will see spike.
Right there.
With lots of inflammation.
Look under our names in guests, and you'll see a link. I hope it's there. It should be. Let me make sure. Before everybody goes looking, and it's not there, but it's supposed to be there. It's two pictures. The big pink pictures are what we're going to focus on here for a few minutes. And those are from Dr. Arnie Burkhardt, the late Arnie Burkhardt. Okay, you'll see it. Professor Arnie Burkhardt's slides of autopsies of the vaxxed. So pull that page up. Now, the top one, showing the spleen and liver and how it's affected there, we're going to kind of skip past that and go right to the heart. There are two slides of heart tissue done during autopsy. They were sectioned out and photographed. Now, looking at the top one, and I'll just lay out the basics, and then Erica can again finish this and tell you what really is going on here. What you're seeing is the pink. The pink tissue is the heart muscle. Now, there are blood vessels in the heart, and the little blue things you see that are, they've been dyed, stained. Those are part of your immune system. Those are T lymphocytes, and they're all over the body, and they're hunting for your body's cells that have been invaded by the mRNA and are producing or have otherwise spike-associated proteins to those cells. And the T lymphocytes go after those cells, and because they're diseased, they destroy them. That's what they do. That's their job. So you've got spike in your body, and all of a sudden, normal body healthy cells are being targeted by your own immune system, your own T lymphocytes, and they are destroying your own body's cells because they are now tainted with spike protein. And you'll see all these blue, they're dark blue, I guess, or almost black. Those are all T lymphocytes in there. And what they're doing is what they're supposed to do. They're trashing and removing or breaking down these cells. And what grows behind that is usually in the heart scar tissue. You won't have these nice undulating waves of musculature in the heart that when the heart beats, it's like a contraction, but it's not like a clump. It's a wave. It's a very, very brilliant and eloquent wave of contraction in the muscle, the way it works. When it has scar tissue in it, it doesn't make a smooth contraction anymore. And you get so much scar tissue that eventually the heart can't pump properly at all. So those are T lymphocytes in there, and their job is to find cells that have been damaged or invaded or compromised and weakened by the spike. And if you see how many T lymphocytes are all over the heart tissue, that's damage to your heart, which is not going to heal. Remember, the heart and the brain do not propel healing with new cells. They just don't. That's not the two organs in the body that don't. They can't rebuild themselves. So these T lymphocytes are in there chasing spike protein, which is all throughout this heart tissue and leaving scar tissue and holes, obviously empty spaces behind it, which in time, if there is time, I would assume fill up with scar tissue. But go ahead, tell us more.
Yeah, you summed it up pretty well. You have to think that everybody that's had one of these, I mean, you know, that's consistent with what I'm seeing, you know, has some degree of this going on. And it isn't necessarily showing up on the typical scans. But then, remember we had that case a couple weeks ago where this woman joined a support group on behalf of her husband who had had one or two shots a couple years ago, developed chest pain, was seen by doctors, I think in the emergency room or possibly even a cardiologist, who couldn't find anything at the time and just said, you know, you'll be fine and it's okay to exercise. And so he did. And now it's two and a half years later, and he was beginning to have symptoms again and had another scan done, and his heart is a mess. If I can find that, I'll read it again. It's really, right. She was horrified.
Keep in mind those pictures, again, are showing T lymphocytes. They're not showing spike, but the T lymphocytes are there because spike is present and the cells have been damaged. They're in stasis, or they're just doing nothing. They've just been ruined. So that's part of the game. Now, here's a little clip, a couple sentences from the article we referred to earlier. What, after all, is a classic heart attack but an arterial blockage causing damage to heart muscle? Indeed, the spike protein damages heart muscle. It is, in essence, causing a real-time spreading heart attack. And it is also most likely destroying the conduction myofibers in the heart, just like the neuritis or neurites in the tongue. This then causes sudden cardiac death. So what he's saying here is there are conduction myofibers in the heart that are being destroyed either by T lymphocytes after spike proteins or maybe the spike protein in and of themselves. But when those conduction myofibers are not there, the heart can't beat. It just can't. So spike protein, heart attack, sudden death, right then.
This same principle might explain the people who are experiencing muscle wasting now, and they don't seem to know why.
Right. Very good point. Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, so when a tissue is not innervated, you know, it's just not getting the stimulus to be maintained, to be viable.
No, they call it when it's denervation. The opposite
denervation,
it's the opposite of innervation. So just understand that your heart is under attack. If you get spiked either by shedding, God forbid, or by the injection, double God forbid, those spikes go everywhere there's blood. And everywhere there's blood, the T lymphocytes in your immune system follow along to kill the spike off and the dead cells that it's killed and ruined and compromised. And so you have your own immunological army destroying your body. Everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Not a good thing. Again, I just don't know how else to phrase it other than the way we're doing it. It's that these are the facts. This shot has less than nothing to do by any possible science fiction stretch of reality by way of offering any kind of a vaccination safety shield for anything. It's a weapon. And it's not a failed experimental anything. This is a perfected, deployed device to remove humankind from the planet. And every doctor who refers to this as a vaccine is a liar and it should be taken to the woodshed. It's a lie. These are weapons. There's nothing medically salutary about any of these injections. From Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, AZ, it doesn't matter. And probably a number of others. There are over 25 companies making various kinds of alleged vaccines to guard against the coronavirus.
I agree. Any doctor that doesn't come clean on this by now really ought not to be a doctor.
No. Nope. I agree. Okay, anything else you want to mention about these shots? Just understand, again, those are all T lymphocytes. Those are that's what you want in your immune system. Those are soldiers, and they're out there fighting and cleaning up messes. But you've got God only knows how many spike proteins in your body that are doing nothing but destroying your body's cells and causing microclotting and clots. Oh, man, this is bad. As Dr. Chetty said, the spike protein is the deadliest thing that mankind has ever created. And he's right.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything more inflammatory that you could put into the body than this thing.
What would it be? It's straight strychnine? I don't know.
No, this thing, wherever it goes, it brings just horrendous inflammation with it and oxidative stress. Remember that nurse in that CHD bus tour who had worked in the, I don't know, it was the ICU in the hospital? And she said that they'd never seen inflammation markers like this. And this was people with COVID. Never seen a disease with these types of inflammatory markers.
Right, right.
It's no joke.
No, not at all. I'm trying to find my Nagase page. Where the hell did that go? Okay. All right, we're going to play a little clip from Dr. Nagase, N-E-G-A-S-E, Nagase. He's Japanese. He's in Canada. He's a Canadian physician. And he was interviewed by Dr. Jane Ruby. And
this was about a year ago now, January of 2023. And
right.
Yeah, he's another physician in Canada who chose not to take the shot and therefore lost his privileges at the hospital where he was working.
You know, the real heroes, like Dr. Ryan Cole and Dr. Nagase, and there are others, have lost a lot. They've paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones who are really riding the money train that you need to be pay particular attention to, okay? They're not losing everything. They're profiting very nicely.
You know, what I'm seeing is this so-called parallel system that is being set up is not really separate and apart from what's already here. You know, it's almost like the Democrat versus Republican Party. It's, you know, you think there's a choice, but
the Uniparty, yeah.
Yeah, it's really the same entities behind both of them.
All right, here's a clip with Dr. Daniel Nagase, and this is on the Dr. Jane Ruby show, and we thank her for making this available to everyone. So here we go. And he's going to talk more about sudden, permanent cardiac death.
Myocarditis or worse, not, you know, I mean, worse, mm-hmm. I think if the cells were chaotic and weren't working, when you're talking about cardiac tissue, you are talking mm-hmm. about cardiac muscle, but there are other tissues in there, like your nodes, your nodal tissues. And if you destroy or mess with those, you're going to like not have a cardiac pacing, right?
That's right. Like the cardiac, the SA node and the AV node, the two main nodes of the heart, and all the, mm-hmm. the nerves that conduct that electrical energy so that the heart contracts in an orderly manner.
Mm-hmm.
If there's inflammation throughout the electrical system of the heart, you're not going to get proper conduction.
And
so there's two problems.
Yeah.
Either you get no conduction, then the heart doesn't beat, or you get disordered conduction, in which case you have ventricular fibrillation. Right? So the heart isn't contracting in a normal manner. It's just kind of vibrating, not actually circulating any blood. Both cases result in death unless you fix the problem.
Now, what he just said is what we mentioned earlier, and this quote from the Chestnut article, and it is also most likely the spike destroying the conduction myofibers in the heart. It's what Dr. Nagase is talking about. This then causes sudden cardiac death.
Right. Myocarditis is only related to the cardiac muscle inflammation, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are other things that can happen to cardiac tissues if they're exposed mm-hmm. to these spike proteins. That's absolutely fascinating. And not to mention all the other organs in the body that could be exposed to this never before seen. And by the way, it's supposedly a spike that was designed in silico, right? So you're talking about mm-hmm. something that not only is it not normal to the body to see mm-hmm. it, but it's seeing something that is not organic, or does that not matter?
Well, it could have been engineered. Who knows?
Right.
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 Somebody like, some evil scientist or whatever, Dr. Evil, is like, well, how do we...
Kind of like a Nobel Prize winner?
...find a protein yeah. that will cause as much long-term genetic and physiologic mm-hmm. and cellular damage possible.
Right.
And then they designed it on a computer, and then they used, they used modern cell biology to take that computer design, make it reality,
sure.
create the... RNA or DNA template for that, their new biotoxic protein. And then they spliced it into a coronavirus because coronaviruses generally spread quite far and wide. And then who knows what else they, spliced in. I remember the very first reports on COVID-19 that they were finding segments of the HIV genome in this coronavirus. That doesn't happen naturally.
Right.
Bats don't get HIV from humans and then catch a cold and then somehow naturally, the bat coronavirus, because a bat somehow got AIDS, and then those two viruses met up in the same cell and started mixing. That I'm not aware that's even a realistic thing that could possibly happen. So then the big question is, why on earth are there segments of HIV genome inside a coronavirus? what does the HIV genome do? Well, one of the unique properties of the HIV is it suppresses the immune system, which allows whatever virus that has that segment of HIV genes to multiply a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have probably an engineered spike protein, you have immune suppressing gene taken from HIV, and you have that all mixed together in a virus that's naturally contagious, the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances all those things happened all at once?
Right.
Unless somebody was doing it on purpose.
Intentional. That's really kind of one of your main themes. Let me ask you...
Okay. I think that's probably about enough, huh? You got it?
Yeah.
Or is there more?
No, that's the gist of it.
The HIV addition, what other components have been found, genetically speaking, to have been placed in this synthetic killer? We got rabies, wasn't that in there too?
The rabies glycoprotein. There was a super antigen with the, was it strep? Bacteria, you know, it creates a very inflammatory response when it goes into the body with the T cells. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a segment on it that will bind to lipopolysaccharides in the blood and make things even worse.
You get the idea, dear friends, this is not a vaccine, and it didn't come from bats or pangolins. It came from a lab, multiple labs, from the minds
and let's not forget
of satanically evil people.
The sting in the tail, which I would say is this prion.
Oh, well, we spent
proteins.
Two programs on that. Go back and listen to our most recent programs on the prion protein thing. Look, what we've told you about the heart tonight is enough, I think, to put everyone on notice that we're in trouble, big, big trouble. And what we talked about in the last two programs about prion proteins, you can multiply that by a factor of 10. We're really, really headed to some very grave times. There's no reversing this. That's the problem. There's no way to just rewind and get out of it. No supplement is going to do that. And the supplements will detach spike protein, and apparently some of them will break spike protein down. But Erica came up with an observation that was appalling about these supplements, breaking the spike protein down into pieces. Does that make the spike protein inactive? Does it destroy its ability to be a pathogen as it is? We don't know. Maybe if it breaks
well,
it into 10 pieces.
Some of the fragments may be more toxic than the thing as a whole.
Thank you.
And until we do studies, you know, we're just guessing. We're just making assumptions. I mean, I can say that people that are having issues with clotting seem to really benefit from taking natto kinase. But at what cost? Hopefully it's a good thing. Hopefully it's not breaking this thing down into prion fragments. But, you know, we're at the mercy of time or until somebody does the studies.
Do we have enough time? Who's doing the studies? Who would be allowed to do the studies if they're really going to open the door on the truth of this thing? Maybe they'll be thwarted. I don't know. But if you break a spike protein down into, let's say, 10 pieces, 10 fragments, could each fragment continue to function as the whole?
And this is the thing about the virus in general. You can. It's not difficult to kill this virus. You know, it has a lipid membrane that's very susceptible to just simple detergent, even air, UV light, and any kind of oxidation. But the proteins that comprise the virus are still toxic. And, you know, people often ask, well, what can you do to disinfect a room where somebody's been shedding this thing or the virus? And one of the studies said that HEPA filters, in the case of the virus, viral infection, actually increase the rate of infection of people that, you know, went into that room.
Now you better explain how does that work? How could it make it worse?
Well, you have a virion, a viral particle. The virus itself is much smaller than what a HEPA filter can catch.
Can handle. That's right.
Yeah. So if you were to have an additional means of degrading that protein or neutralizing it with either UV or ozone, that would be preferable. But again, that's for the live virus. You can still be adversely affected by these proteins.
Which are proteins smaller
than the
virus.
Proteins not dead or alive. It's just a protein, and some proteins are very toxic. And the spike protein is one of those types of proteins.
It's horrific.
And UV
toxic.
Light will not degrade amyloidogenic sequences.
No. Okay, that's enough for this time in terms of new science, but it'll be there. Listen to the program a couple of times, and it'll make more sense. Let's go and do just a couple of our human file things, because it is that time of the year when people who have lost loved ones are going to be, I think, really devastated. This is going to be tough for people. I wish there was something that I, and I know we feel, we wish we could do something to help, but all we can do is offer information and common sense. And the common sense is that if you're vaxxed or if you're unvaxxed, don't be around shedding. You don't need it. And that means to minimize or try to build a little bit of a common sense barrier between you and other people around you when you're out and among them. Masks work perfectly? Hell no. Say they give you a 25% better chance to avoid infestation or being shed upon. Take it. Take it. Use it. I'm seeing a few more people with masks on now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have too. And I think these are the people that are seeing their vaxxed friends. I mean, everybody here is vaxxed, practically. And they're understanding that the vax is not doing what it's supposed to do, and they're frightened.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Here's one on from December 13th, supplement confusion. This might be good to do. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, it's okay. I've got some new ones that I sent over tonight.
Go. Okay.
December 20.
No, never mind.
You pick. How about cancer from J&J?
I just picked that. Yeah. I just didn't verbalize it yet. All right.
Read your mind.
You're good at that. I have a question about the one. What the hell is YNK?
You know what?
Oh, see? It's right in front of me. I have a question about the you know what. In other words, the shot. The only one you know what, not like the other popular you know what's shots that everyone gets to.
So they're referring to J&J here.
Got it.
J&J, Johnson & Johnson.
This is a Johnson & Johnson. Have people been getting side effects or ill and dying from taking this shot? You know the flavor they stopped making early on, Johnson & Johnson. I have a friend, these people, I have a friend that ate it early on. Now she has what they say is a tumor on her spine. It's elongated along the spine, something they've never seen before. Is that something related to this shot? Yeah, well, I think I could fill in that blank without too much trouble. Go ahead.
There were a lot of responses, but this is probably the most sensible one. Try and enjoy Christmas with your friends and family. As at this rate, I fear most will not be here for the next one. So many getting cancers and getting sick constantly. It is just insane.
Not only cancers, turbo cancers, but we have a bad feeling that turbo prion infestation and destruction of the human brain is ongoing now, perhaps at a level that few could even guess at. We don't know. But that's what the evidence so far would suggest. Prion protein destruction of the brain, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD, etc., is going on now in a lot of people. Because the prions will go through the blood-brain barrier.
Issues happening with people now. And I think it's multi... multifaceted in why it's happening. You know, you can think of the prions, yes, but that usually takes a prolonged course, you know, months to years, I would say, to develop in a normal situation. But now it's compounded by the chronic inflammation that's happening in the brain, just the toxicity that builds in the brain when the lymphatic system isn't working. You know, your brain is supposed to be able to shrink ever so slightly when you go to sleep at night, and the lymph is supposed to be drained from the brain and washed out. Well, that can't happen when the brain is inflamed the way it is, and these lymphatic vessels are blocked. And again, you know, I'll mention the endotoxemia that we mentioned in the last program that Lori, our friend Lori, may or may not be suffering from. That's probably contributing. If you have a leaky gut and you're getting bacteria from the gut migrating into the bloodstream, that's toxic.
Exactly right. Here's one little quickie. Talking with a patient yesterday, somebody working in the health field, she's telling me she just got over her fourth bout of cancer. She goes on to tell me, I've had the shot and all the extras, six together, all together six shots. I just don't get it, she said. No, ma'am, you absolutely do not get it, says the poster. So whoever the poster is, they had a patient come in saying that she just got over her fourth round of cancer and then says that she's taken six shots so far. And I just don't understand it.
It's not cancer. It's COVID. Fourth bout of COVID.
Thank you. Well, it's C period, so I guessed wrong. All right. Well, she's probably going to be in trouble anyhow. Six shots, four rounds of COVID. We know now that the more times you're infected with COVID, the worse things get.
Yeah, there was another post I read. A guy has had it five times. He's vaxxed, and he just got over his...
He's had the virus five times.
Wow. Yeah, I think I put it in some of the... Somewhere here we have it. Where is it? Myocarditis?
Four times COVID. That's a lot. I know people have had it several times, and they seem to just shrug it off. So six shots, four rounds of COVID. She got the virus four times. It seems like one rule of thumb is when you get the so-called vax, you're going to get the virus. You're just going to get it.
Well, statistically, yeah, they said that. You're more likely to become infected. How about this pet suffering?
Okay, we're running late here, but go ahead. How short is it?
It's short.
Go to it.
This is a vax-injured person. Okay, so maybe this is out of left field, but my primary issue is muscle wasting. And I was told at the vet last week that my female dog is also muscle wasting. Uh-huh. And now my male dog has also lost 10 pounds. Anyone else?
Pictures. Yeah.
Are we shedding on our pets? Here's my duo and a couple pictures. And then here's an answer. My friend has had COVID four times, three times this year. And she has streptococcal septus, and so does her cat. The immune suppression is terrible.
Wow. All right. That's going to wrap it for tonight. And yes, your pets are at risk. And yes, be careful if you go to a vet for a variety of reasons. I'm not knocking all vets, but they should know better in some cases than they do.
Yeah.
Same with doctors. Okay. Thank you. See you Friday.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Night. Okay, that's it. We'll be right back with another hour live from Donetsk in free Ukraine next.